It's another day of drafts here on Splash Play. Draft number 28 for me in the 2024 best ball season. Today, we're going to ask the question, who are the guys that nobody wants at this point? And are those concerns correct? Are those things, those takes valid, really, in particular? And a guy like Stefon Diggs, people really mad about how he finished last year. Should be mad at him heading into 24? Let's talk about it here. I am, of course, already in a draft room, chock full of regulars, so we will not have the fun we had yesterday. But the good news is these guys get to be seeing their names and draft picks on stream, and hopefully they'll behave themselves and make it good. The chat is frothy. Yes, chat is very frothy. I barely got into this draft room too, so you guys really lucked out. I was the last one into this one. So all these folks waiting here. Of course, yesterday, if you want to see a more pristine draft where, of course, one of the best reviewed drafts in terms of the comments, how I felt about it yesterday, without having to deal with people taking all the good picks, taking all the good stacks and all that. Taking the players that I like in particular, as happens a lot in our friends and family Splash Play rooms. We will persevere, and it'll be a competitive draft day. And now you guys pay the tax. You get a competitive draft day today where all of you are getting in. Next time, you get a day where I sneak in, and I don't tell you about it. So that's how it goes. That's the trade-off here. Can't ruin all my drafts with you fools. And you're people who, again, literally take people that are relevant to my roster, not relevant to theirs, and then they get mad at me for that somehow. So we are feeling great here. First round, is there anybody that fits the criteria that we're talking about in the video today? People that I guess the public is down on. I feel like for the most part, I really don't think there's anybody in the first round that actively fits the criteria that we're talking about in the thumbnail and the title of the video, where like in the second round, I think there's a lot of guys where you ask some questions, you go, hey, is this guy worth the draft capital he's going at? Rashee Rice, a guy I've beaten up quite a bit here. But I don't think the public is down on him as I am. We'll figure that out in a moment, though. Breece Hall goes pick 7. We can actually get Amon-Ra St. Brown at pick 8. So normally in these Splash Play rooms, we get bled out completely at wide receiver. So we will see how that goes. We are started off with Amon-Ra, though, and very happy to do so here. Back to Troy Franklin going to the 70s. A Splash Play draft wouldn't feel right otherwise. Yes, that is one of the trade-offs here, but we'll see. You know, different pockets, different people. We'll see how they want to treat some of our favorite guys. A lot of red badges in here in general. You got Dark, Soldinger. You got Yosemite. I was going to say Yosemite as though that's not a real word. And it is, in fact, a real word in National Park. Yosemite. Joe Buttiger, Travioli, Mad Maddie. These two here. Are the regulars, your Travioli in particular, last 2 days have been dying to get in a draft. So here you go, your moment in the sun. I'm guilty of it too, because there's been times where like I'm just hanging out. In particular, like when I was in the Football Outsiders days and I didn't have a meeting when Pete would be streaming. And I'm like, I'll try to get in a draft. And I think that's fun to be in a draft that's on stream. I kind of don't get like, I'm very happy that like, I guess you guys want to be in rooms with me. That's fun as a concept, even though in practice, much less fun. I think we can all agree. But why? Like, what is? Can somebody explain the pure joy of it? Where it's like getting this frothy? I'm curious to know. I mean, I guess again, I'm not going to look the gift horse in the mouth, especially if you are one of the people who's a paying member here. But otherwise, I'm just baffled, man. Unfortunately, not doing PGA right now because of NBA. Just having the three NBA slates, going $600 for those slates. Obviously, I'm not. I've been profitable most of them. The last one did not go as well for me. I'll talk about it in a second. Picking up here, DJ Moore, I think a little bit overvalued at this point because it is likely to me. Chicago adds another receiver there. Obviously, DJ Moore could still get there, but I guess he goes in the third round coming up. Boy, I do not like this spot very much. I am going to take a running back. I don't like it. I'm going to take a running back. I just don't love DJ Moore. I think he's going to very quickly be down 2 rounds in these drafts because really they add an Odunze. They add somebody in free agency. Obviously, the upside's still there for DJ Moore. So if you took him early, like you're not dead in the water because you took him at the 1-2 turn. But to me, like the obvious thing for Chicago to do, they've already basically hinted at, is upgrading that wide receiver two spot. I would say in particular in the draft where you have so many guys who can be a downfield target that brings something a little bit different from DJ Moore, who's, you know, getting older, going to be less of a good downfield target as time goes on. I think that they could be live for an Adonai Mitchell. They could be live for Romo Odunze at 9. They could be live for a lot of different. They could be live for Troy Franklin. And honestly, because of Caleb Williams being there, the pick's going to have value. So I think for DJ Moore, to me, I would guess that he will end up by the time that draft / free agency is over. And I guess that doesn't matter for the big board, but I would imagine that he gets down to here, maybe late 30s, probably more like 30, 31. timed it wrong in the room before this one. There you go. Look, even top 10 BBM performers, like our guy Mr. cannot get in the room always. But that's the name of the game here. Yeah, I barely was in this room too, so I would have been in another one waiting a few minutes. So it is what it is. Of course, Splash Play, though, guys, this is draft number 28 of the best ball season for me. Drafts every day, Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. So please join us on the journey. And in particular, if you're watching live, please do smash that like button here. Just the YouTube algorithm has not been great lately, I do think, because of that weirdo guy downvoting everything for enough weeks in a row. I think we've been kind of suffering there, but only getting like half the impressions. Just to let you guys in on YouTube biz, because I know sometimes people are interested by the stuff. The way that you get seen by people is you have a good thumbnail and then you get your impressions up enough that like it suggests it to more people that are interested. And obviously best ball is going to have ebbs and flows throughout the season. But basically like I was getting like 10,000, 11,000 impressions per video a couple weeks ago. Now we're down to 5,000. And obviously it's not because of, the content changing. I'm doing the same shit. And if anything, I'm like, really, I feel like I'm really bringing it every day as best I can. So I feel like for me, it's clearly like one of those things where need your support to help things moving in the right direction. So please, if you do enjoy the show, hit that like button, leave a comment after the fact as well, to show the algorithm that this show matters, that this show has heart, moxie, spunk. Travioli in the two-hole going CeeDee Lamb, Debo Samuel, Tank Dell. Again, start there. If you're going zero RB, probably pretty similar as we talked about yesterday where, and again, a great article on Spike Week. Give the shout out again to our guy, Billy Jones. Interesting article talking about how certain constructions make people more chalky doing certain things. And Eric Beinfort actually tweeted out a few of those pairings as well from BBM last year, where if you were not a zero RB team, you were more likely to have Trevor Lawrence with Calvin Ridley by a wide margin, like 50% of those teams had those two together. But then if you were a zero RB team, you had Calvin Ridley more with Trevor Lawrence, and some of those little wrinkles there actually can be pretty important. All right, so we're risking it a little bit at wide receiver, but we got the stack right here. I can't not take the stack. Amon-Ra, Sam Laporta. Is it chalky? I think the fact that we went Achane round two makes it a little bit less chalky, but I feel like in Amon-Ra, Sam Laporta build, I like a lot. And the only thing that would have been better would be if you get Amon-Ra, Gibbs, and Sam Laporta in a row. And frankly, I'd be okay making that bet. Not a lot of teams you want to waste the first three rounds of draft capital on. But Amon-Ra, Gibbs, these guys also really strong in their position, deserving of first-round capital, even though Gibbs to me a little more comfortable as a second-round pick. Laporta, we know the tight end upside is there, even though I do think he's maybe a little bit overpriced tight end. I think he should be a little bit flatter with guys like Kelsey, guys like Mark Andrews, but even Trey McBride, I'd put them in that quadrumvirate there. For Laporta, though, no concerns with him. I feel good about it. Guys who fit the thumbnail, the video title criteria, Stephon Diggs is the big one to me. I just think that Diggs going at 31 here, if he had come back to me, I would have been happy to get him at 32 and honestly probably would have taken him over Sam Laporta. Diggs coming down at all doesn't make sense. Gabe Davis is likely gone, and they are going to try to get somebody in his wide receiver too. The report's coming out, I think it was actually in, might have been Matthew Berry's big article with his 25 tidbits from the combine. But the assumption there is that Khalil Shakir, they've used more of a number three. They want to get a number two in, which is fine. Like maybe that can hurt Diggs a little bit. Maybe that guy's better than Gabe Davis and takes a few more targets away. But Diggs is like a wide receiver one who just kind of ran bad in the back half of last year. So to me, he's like the most pronounced of all these guys of, I just don't think he's appropriately valued for what he is. Again, this being a splash play room, Malik Nabers goes at 30. So is what that is. Also been a fine guy to get somewhere in this range, but not a thing here. And honestly, fine price to pay for him too at 30. Don't mind that. All right. 0-1-1 here. We need some receivers. And I really do think that Odunze goes to Chicago. I really feel like that is a good outcome. That would be good for everybody involved. But Amari Cooper, we know, has spike weeks. Can't pass with Amari Cooper here. We'll take the vet. And Amon-Ra Cooper team last year, wasn't that the winner? Wasn't that? So Cooper, Amon-Ra, I think we're okay going back to the well. Not for the recency bias reasons, but because he's a good pick at this range. And of course, you saw me draft a running back today, guys. So tomorrow, zero RB Fridays, where I could really cut loose and be zero RB. Yesterday was like so extreme zero RB that I think we got a little bit of a taste yesterday, but Friday is a day where I have to do it, where I force myself to do it no matter what. So come back for that one. Zero RB Fridays, where the party really gets a going, is what we say here. Going back to the chat, Abrams ADP is 33 now. Still reached. You still reached like all you fucking simps do. in this room. You're all the guys we've been talking about. You're now reaching for him ahead of me. I know how it is, but yes, you, point being, still reach. Diggs, you should take ahead of Neighbors, I would think, at pick 30. You're allowed to do what you want to do. Shout out our guy Tyler here, one of the leaders of the Squirt Squad. Glad to see him here. He'll be listening later. Of course, Tyler, one of the reasons that the podcast feed is now getting updated daily as well. So check that out. If you want to get some more Splash Play on the go and you don't want to pay for YouTube Premium, podcast feed, good to go. Though I will, again, YouTube Premium, so sick. Such a great product, really. Very happy to have that in my life. The good old Squirt Squad reach around. Well, again, wouldn't be a draft. Still be able to grab solid wide receivers in the fourth and fifth, like a reach up for Brian Thomas in the sixth, assuming he's there still. He's not in this room. No fucking chance. But yes, I love Brian Thomas. Some people out there think the fantasy points guy, whose name escapes me, Scott Barrett, was tweeting about like how he really thinks the rookies are being overrated and blah, 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 especially at wide receiver. I kind of think that I agree to some extent. I feel like that guy's takes, I feel like he always goes a little bit too far for me. And I'm like, I think that's wrong. I think you're now like ramping it up a little to hot take it rather than the reality of the situation. He's like, they're all bad analytically. It's like, they're not all bad analytically. The top ones are incredibly good analytically. And then some other ones, like we talked about here a bunch, the Xavier Leggetts, the Troy Franklins, the Brendan Rice's for me guys, you know, Ladd McConkey, who's not a big target earner, but still efficient enough. A lot of efficient guys, a lot of guys who are good EPA metrics. So I don't really get the take. And I feel like it's one of those things that people are now pushing back on because a lot of people out there are just so into the, like, oh, the combine stats. These guys, this is the greatest wide receiver class ever because these guys are all athletes. And I think you're just going to see a lot more high RAS scores because of guys learning how to, A, prep for the combine more efficiently, being coached into that more directly, but also because, like, you know, athleticism gets better every year and everything. Like, we've talked about that a lot on here. We're just, you know, you compare guys in 2024 to guys in 2004. It's almost not fair, let alone, you know, the 80s and 60s and all that. So it's just going to keep getting better on that front. And I think that doesn't mean that, like, the analytics are bad just because, like, you're a little bit – people are a little overreactionary to the athletic profiles. 0-1-2-1 here. We need some wide receivers. Calvin Ridley probably getting a good free agent outcome. Not the most exciting player to me. Ridley's probably going to get a decent outcome, though, in free agency. But you know what? I'd rather have Brian Thomas. And frankly, these fuckers coming after me are probably going to take Brian Thomas. So no. I'll take Brian Thomas in round five. You can take Calvin Ridley, CTZ. Brian Thomas, the logic for him, which I feel like I talk about Brian Thomas now more than anybody, even though target earning, again, a big concern, 23% target route run rate for him, but a good depth of target, 12.8 intended air yards per attempt, a 0.63 EPA per target, which is crazy. And then downfield, 1.7 deep targets a game, throws 20 plus air yards, and a 1.2 EPA on those plays, which would put him third in the class behind Harrison, behind Neighbors, and that's it. And then I guess also Taj Washington, but Taj Washington, small sample size guy from USC. Yeah, Brian Thomas, very, very happy to get him wherever I can get him at this point. The athletic profile for him, I think overall with his size, with his actual production, which was pretty far ahead of Adonai Mitchell, even though Adonai Mitchell had like a 0.33 EPA per target, still a fine receiver to look at in terms of his production. But like compared to like Xavier Worthy, I would have Brian Thomas. I mean, he's going, you know, 40 picks ahead, 50 picks ahead, but like he should be. Like Brian Thomas is a legit grown wide receiver who might be. I know I like some of these outlandish comps a little bit more. Like a little, he's got a little Calvin Johnson-y to him with the size, with the speed, with the athletic profile. It's not quite as big as Calvin Johnson was. And again, not as great of a target earner, but when you have Malik Neighbors there, I think you kind of have to give some grace. I did not, but well, I guess Daniel Jeremiah got a few things right early that I did not agree with, Romo Dunze in particular. So, but I'm not like the biggest Jeremiah stan. 0-1-3-1 here. Running back would be okay. I am a little in the bag for DeAndre Hopkins. I think that he is a good pick at this spot. Very much believe that Tennessee will be a better team next year. They're going to run the ball better. They're going to pass the ball more effectively. They're going to do everything a little bit better, I think. So for them, Hopkins, I think, benefiting from that. The risk point is that they meaningfully upgrade the wide receiver core, which is a risk that's there. Brock Bowers, also a guy who's occasionally linked to Tennessee. That would upset the target tree a little bit. But if anything, it might make Hopkins have a little more efficiency as he is getting older and he's never been able to separate anyway. So we'll go with Hopkins. The concern for Tennessee too, to me, really, like I think the coaching they're bringing in is good. The commitment that the, you know, the Callahan's going to have for himself, given again, his dad's on the coaching staff, has had great offensive lines pretty much everywhere he's been. They're going to run the ball well. I think the concern for them is just Will Levis. Like, can Will Levis be good enough to take that leap forward? And I'm not sure that he is. I really felt like Tennessee had to protect him above and beyond last year in a way that like a Jordan Love wasn't being babied. It was just a lot of like dink and dunk kind of passes and then 50-yard bombs and really nothing in between. So for Will Levis, I think that's the one concern. But it's a guy going into year two, big body guy, showed a little bit there, at least in terms of theoretical ability to create production for his pass catchers. So that's my concern with Tennessee more than anything. But I do think people are down on Hopkins. I mean, Hopkins, I think, is going to be in a better situation. And he was going, I mean, when he was suspended that year, he was going higher. And was he going to this range last year? I feel like he was going a little bit ahead last year coming into Tennessee. But that's like a much better situation. It's such a big coaching upgrade. And I think it's one of the things I beat into the ground a little bit too much here. But probably not enough. Coaching upgrades and coaching changes are such an important part of the team dynamics and how you price these guys. And people are just like, oh, Hopkins, like, man, that Tennessee offense. And Treylon Burks especially, like, oh, he was so bad, that Tennessee offense last year. It's like, of course he was. Everybody was. How could you not be bad? That's how I feel about it. Any rookie tight end drafting other than Bowers and Sanders? I've still in Ben Sinnott camp. He tested basically better than Sam Laporta, a little bit behind Luke Musgrave in RAS, and he was a good producer in college, so I think he is the one guy that I would stand up for. Theo Johnson, athletic profile is really big, but he just didn't do much. Was a plus EPA receiver, so did add value there, but didn't earn targets at a high rate. And didn't run enough routes, really. So like Sinnott's really the only one production-wise. Jaheim Bell is just too weird of a player, I think, as an H-back, but he did have an okay combine and I think had some merits to him, but I don't know how a team would be. You would have to have such a progressive team to draft him and use him correctly, and obviously it's not the most likely outcome. Brian Robinson going 77. I think that's pretty fair. Again, positive quotes from Dan Quinn at the combine talking about Brian Robinson in particular, not mentioning other running backs there. He mentioned Gibson, but as a reflection of like last year, but did say they want to run Brian Robinson a lot. So Brian Robinson to me, I think should be, I think this is a fair to take him above these guys. 0141 here, getting a little bit dried out. And you know what? It's not the '70s anymore. So we're taking Troy Franklin too. Wide receiver 5, Troy Franklin. Yeah, you know what? Sure, he's not Adonai Mitchell fast or Xavier Worthy fast, but he's good, man. He actually did things in college that were incredibly impressive. And the one concern is that Oregon's offense was so good. Everybody, Bucky Irving really produced. Bo Nix really produced. Those guys at the combine also looked flat. But I just can't believe it was all the offense scheming that well. Like having watched Troy Franklin in particular, and Bucky Irving too, who has like a lot of escapability, a lot of shiftiness. East to West, I think he's a very strong player. So I like Oregon's guys, and I think they took the biggest hit at the combine, and I'm happy to keep taking them. Yeah, thanks, Suture Devo. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't take him at 75. You had to get your second QB. I mean, you got to do that. Obviously, makes sense with Jamar Chase, and you got double correlation. Hoosier Devo, if you're going to take two elite QBs, he's doing it the right way. I feel like the Kamara pick is really where I disagree with your approach, but it is what it is. Can't always agree. Jordan Love steaming up, or is he normally in the mid-70s? He was going to the 90s reliably before, but was that a reach? I think he went in the 90s yesterday. Yeah, that was like a 10-pick reach. I see Jordan Love going in the 90s enough. I wouldn't go up to get him in the 70s personally. And I like Jordan Love. Jordan Love, to me, one of the guys that I had the biggest hopes for coming into the year. And then as the year went on, like, he kind of disappointed me. And to see him kind of bounce back from that and obviously, you know, be able to steal a playoff game at Dallas and then, like, honestly be competitive against the Niners too. I thought he really showed a lot with that run. So for Jordan Love, I'm okay going up to get him. It kind of feels wrong to take him ahead of Joe Burrow and Dak. Maybe 1-to-1 with Dak, but I don't know. People want to get their guys. I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm not doing that too. All right, we got Achan, Monra, Eckler. Something, a report came out like Rams and KC would be good fits for him, which yes, they would. If Eckler were the upgrade in KC, that would be one of the biggest wins in the offseason, the McKinnon upgrade rather in KC. I'm taking Eckler here, pick 89. I'm happy to do that. I think out of all the guys to harken back to last year, like who's going to be the Mixon / Kamara who at least give you a few weeks of pretty good stuff. I think Eckler's going to give you a few good usable weeks at the minimum, if not a reliable role for like 15 touches a game. That's probably a little more beneficial on DraftKings with the PPR points, but with his touchdown ability, it wasn't there this year, so maybe he's kind of losing it. But yeah, Austin Eckler to me, pick 89. Again, to beat up Hoosier Diva some more, he said his connection went out for Kamara. I would rather have Eckler 23 picks later than Kamara in every single draft. I think that those ADPs are not correct. Kamara's going to get cut. It's one of those things we talk about a lot in the stream again, that like people are waiting for the actual news event to happen. And then and last year you would have been right about that with Joe Mixon. So I could see the logic in it, but you sometimes have to downgrade guys to a certain extent here. I just don't think Kamara's downgraded when Henry's going here is probably going to be a much better play. Who's going to actually get signed somewhere in free agency and possibly to a contender like a Baltimore. Tyjae Spears is probably going to get the lead back role. I'm in Tennessee. Aaron Jones is getting older, probably going to have the lead back role, though, in an ascendant Green Bay offense. David Montgomery is still definitely there to steal some touchdowns away. Like, I think all of these guys here, Ramondre, a new coaching staff that might lean on him, certainly could sign somebody else, go a different direction, but that's the play in an ambiguous backfield as you try to play the upside of it. All these guys, to me, better picks. Even Najee, I think I would take over Alvin Kamara. So that's how strongly I feel against Kamara. Eckler's a steal at 90 is just me. I agree. I think he was bad last year, but he's going to have probably one of the better free agent outcomes because I think he's a very smart player. He's not going to price himself out, I think, of a good opportunity. So if that good opportunity is going to KC winning a title and being their new McKinnon, because McKinnon just kind of lost it seemed like down the home stretch last year, I think Eckler would really hurt Pacheco's ADP, first of all. But second of all, like for himself, that would be a huge opportunity. Negative juice. Look, he wasn't good last year. As somebody, again, who likes to cite the analytics stuff, Eckler last year, negative 0.18 EPA per rush, negative 0.19 EPA per pass. That is not good. Avoided tackle rate, 11%, not good. 24% target per out run rate, pretty good for a running back. But besides that, yeah, like he definitely was on the downswing, but the commitment to him in the backfield and him just maybe getting less work, I think would be a positive, more efficiency. And he could just land again. If he lands one of the nut outcomes, which is always going to be the case for any of these guys, if you land KC, you land Baltimore, you land Buffalo, you're going to be a winner. You land Houston, you're going to be a winner. Eckler would be kind of fun. I'd still like to see Singletary go back, and I think Houston might be more inclined to do that based on the Schultz extension. But Eckler might be fun in Houston. I would rather have him there than Saquon, personally. We have a 0-2-5-1 here. Nothing pressing at QB. DeAndre Swift, a free agent who probably gets a good outcome, but I think I'd rather have Chase Brown. Some risk that Chase Brown, Austin Eckler could end up on the same team. Eckler, I think, would be a good fit for Cincinnati doing what Chase Brown did last year. But Eckler, to me, Chase Brown, I like this room with Achan being our anchor back. Team so far, I've not been reading it out. I apologize to the upcoming audio listeners. Achan, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown at running back, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Amari Cooper, Brian Thomas, Jr., of course, DeAndre Hopkins, and Troy Franklin at wide receiver, at tight end, Sam Laporta. That is our team so far. No QBs yet. Will end up with any zero rookie lineups, or would it have to be deliberate? It would have to be deliberate. There's enough rookies that I like, and I frankly don't get a crack at every single time, that I'm always going to take one. You can make a case that, like, I think especially with a non-zero RB room that you're going to benefit from just taking the slightly underpriced vets like Davante Adams, like Stephon Diggs along the way. So I wouldn't hate that as a concept to just avoid the rookies in the first couple rounds, but I think they're talented enough. And if I'm going to be a believer in the metrics that I give you guys, the EPA metrics and Sports Info Solutions that I always like swear by here, I have to really believe in these guys because the numbers these guys put up in college are amazing, and then the athletic profiles are amazing too. So, like, you know, I think these guys should be treated like they're going to come in and be, you know, stars relatively fast. Okay. I think so. Jared Goff, obviously the logical pick here, but with how QB is falling, we might be able to push him if we wanted. I think there is very nice steam for Chuba Hubbard right now. And I'm going to take a shot that even if I don't get Jared Goff, that the Detroit stack can make it without Jared Goff. So I'm taking Chuba Hubbard here. A lot of talk about Dave Canales' aggression in the run game, desire to be stubborn about the run game. I think that definitely benefits Chuba Hubbard right now. They said at the combine that he's the lead back for now. Obviously, there could be a change here. There's a lot of guys floating around a free agency, and we did see last year Carolina willing to spend a free agent bucks at running back and spend the most out of everybody in free agency last year. So something that could come in play again with, you know, Miles Sanders. I'm sure they could take the cap hit on cutting him given they don't have a lot of expensive guys anyway. But for Chuba, though, I think for right now, a little bit underdrafted. I've grown more comfortable with him and Ty Chandler for at least this stage of things. I wouldn't be shocked if they get usurped or if somebody comes in to compete with them and they end up being like picks in the 150s and BBM. But for the big board, I'm pretty okay with Chuba and Chandler in the 110s to 120s range. Took Mixon right as you grouped him with Kamara. All right, there we go. I mean, look, you're making your picks, Hoosier. You got to pick your guys. You're picking some. After taking neighbors, you've really gone downhill with guys that I don't like that much. Mixon, if he doesn't go back to Cincinnati, I think he is in a tough spot. He probably becomes an equivalent to last year's Zeke, maybe last year's Kareem Hunt. Let's say like Cincinnati brings in an Eckler gets hurt. Maybe Mixon goes back to Cincinnati in like October, I think would be a thing that could happen, but we'll see about that. And that was also different too. Like they didn't cut Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt was just a free agent. So obviously a little bit of an inequity there. Marquise Brown, of course, who I argued with on social media with the roto surgeon guy, and then ultimately led to us both unfollowing each other. Hopefully amicably, though, after I told him I don't like him and don't think he does good content. I just don't, me and Twitter. I wish there were like something new that wasn't Twitter that I could like be on and have fun with and not just feel like I have to engage with people I don't really like that much. I feel like that's how I view things generally. Anyway, Keon Coleman, I also don't like very much, is really the main point of that. Keon Coleman, what he's got going for him, he's big, he's young, he's going to theoretically improve. Besides that, he was not good at FSU, despite the fact that people kind of think he was. Film watchers do like Keon Coleman a good bit. Let me cite some numbers here, because he is not bolded in my sheet, because he was bad at the combine. 0.003 EPA. Per target at receiver is like aggressively pretty bad for a guy as big as Keon Coleman on a good offense that scored a lot of points or, won a lot of games at the very least. 0.02 EPA out wide per target, which is very bad for comparison. Romo Dunze is a 0.46 out wide. Bleak Neighbors a 0.44 out wide. Marvin Harrison a 0.32 out wide. So objectively not good. Coleman also didn't run enough targets out of the slot to target there or to qualify amongst the top 200 receivers there. So he's not on the sheet. Negative EPA receiver on throws of under 10 air yards, and then downfield as well. He got 2.1 deep targets a game and only a 0.09 EPA on those targets. So objectively, I would say that I really think Keon Coleman did not show anything analytically. And he's the one guy, Scott Barrett wants to shit on Keon Coleman analytically, go for it. Cause he also didn't show anything athletically too. So I don't know, but he's just big. He's just big. Thoughts on Leggett? I have liked Leggett the entire time. Leggett has been one of my guys. Obviously, I think the draft capital now coming up enough that you ask some questions, but he's AJ Brown for the most part. That was a comp that I made very early on and thought it felt insane to say out loud. But then the combine, all combine long, it's AJ Brown. So I do think that that's one that I feel pretty good about as well. Javon Baker, I think, was okay. I wasn't. Like the target earning wasn't great. 26.5% target per out run rate. 0.44 EPA per target is pretty good. Downfield, he was not great. Just a 0.5 EPA. But again, that's relative to this class where you have so many guys who are fantastic downfield. I think the big thing for me at wide receiver is like there's a lot of depth there. So can every guy get there? And to me, Baker, I don't think is good enough. I'd rather take a shot at Brendan Rice over Baker. I think Brendan Rice is going to get a role. And I think he's going to earn, like at the very least, he'll have like a Ronnie Bell kind of role. And it could be a lot better. Jared Goff pushed him back down to me. I will take him now here. Happy to do that. Again, that's what we're trying to do in these rooms. You're trying to create value for yourself. When you see a bunch of QBs there and a guy like Justin Herbert going to 30 picks after ADP, you try to push it a little bit more. So Goff comes back to me. We have Goff at QB, Devon Achane, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Chuba Hubbard at running back, wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Amari Cooper, Brian Thomas Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, Troy Franklin, a wide receiver, and a tight end, Sam Laporta. So we have a double stack for Detroit here. Might have been good to get a David Montgomery or somebody like that along the way, but doesn't really matter that much, I guess. Like Rice too. Look, I think Rice to me, you don't get a lot of guys who actually cool. The irony is you get two in this class, but like I do kind of think that a Marvin Harrison being your dad, and still actively in your life and stuff, and then Jerry Rice being your dad, and like actively coaching him and shit, I think that does help a little bit. Obviously, you still kind of have the Bronny LeBron thing where talent is talent. If you don't have enough talent, you're not going to get there. But Brendan Rice was like a beast at USC and was one of the guys who stands out. Every time you watch a Caleb Williams highlight reel, you will see Brendan Rice making some sick plays. So I really think that, to me, Brendan Rice and Marvin Harrison, I think that is like a little bit of a thing above the guys in their range where just having that in your genetic pool. We have a book for Luka that's like, the Steph Curry book, quote unquote, which, by the way, it's not even a fucking book. It's like a magazine they printed. Some bullshit cash in by Steph Curry. I'll make the pick and I'll complain more about Steph Curry in a moment. All right, we have a 1-4-5-1. We do have to take more receivers at some point. Yeah, it's getting a little thin at receiver. We could try to hit rookies late. I don't really think I need a fifth running back right now, but running back, pretty tempting. Do like Singletary. Do like Ford. Ford's a good bet because we're already betting on Cleveland here. Let's do that. I really was tempted to take Gabe Davis, but I think we one more running back here makes me feel pretty good at it for now. We're going to try to hit a good wide receiver pocket, and hopefully that pocket won't dry out now. Anyway, but yeah, for Brendan Rice, man, just a great player. I think that was the main point I was trying to get to for myself. But yeah, so like for Javon Baker, I do think Javon Baker and like a guy like Ania Smith even more so. I think he kind of gets squeezed because of the fact that like even Tez Walker was an elite athlete. Rowan Wilson was an elite athlete. Ricky Pearsall was an elite athlete. So you have so many elite athletes that I think make the case to go above you. So if you weren't a standout, I think you kind of get lost. And to me, like Javon Baker, I think is a guy that gets a little bit more lost, but we'll see. Anyway, Javon Baker just got the Steve Smith bump, a little overblown for, yeah. Look, at the end of the day, just because a guy was a good wide receiver, and granted, for Steve Smith, to his credit, overcame a lot, and you know, also an underdog guy just like me. So we're exactly the same. I'm sure we're being compensated exactly the same way. For Steve Smith, though, like he's still just a dude, like and he's a dude that I don't think embraces analytics very well, from at least the stuff that I've seen. I don't know for sure. So I think that, you know, no, nothing is gospel. I'm not gospel, but it's about the overall picture and then what you've learned from your experience and how you then want to use that to filter things out. But like, I wouldn't go chasing anybody's takes. I obviously chase my own because they're my own. And if you guys want to chase my own, great. Like you see the work I do here on stream. But for Steve Smith, you know, it's just like, he's watching film and he goes like, I love the body control and I love the this and like great at pointing those things out, but that's not, it's not everything. And I don't sincerely think he's watching like every game, every all 22. No disrespect again to Steve Smith. I don't want, if there's one guy I don't want to get infuriated against me because he will punch me, it's probably Steve Smith. He would have to punch upwardly. So you'd have to go right in the jaw. Most NFL commentators show us every Sunday playing the game and breaking down are completely different. That is very much true. And also, too, like all the dunking on analytics stuff lately is like a little bit too much. I just feel like that stuff where it's like, PTI recently had a quote where they were talking about the trade for Russell Wilson. They're like, oh, the analytics department recommend that one. It's like, no, probably the analytics department didn't recommend trading for a bottom half of the league QB in terms of EPA metrics, who you have to then give an extension to pay a lot of money. So, no. Yosemite takes Xavier Leggett, who I would have liked to have gotten on this pick, was actively thinking about him in my head, but wasn't going to say it out loud because, again, I can't have nice things in splash play rooms. But I don't think Yosemite here is going to be as a regular. So, well, whatever. You saw my shit list for not being a regular now and also for taking Xavier Leggett. But Leggett, a great pick at this range, obviously. Been out on Javon Baker and Malik Washington from the start. I was out of Malik Washington to start. I do think he's still a little bit small and kind of, and just, you know, the small slot guys, you got to be special. He did earn targets at a very high rate with Malachi Corley going out of the picture. I think he's a better pick than Malachi Corley now. So, I agree, disagree a little bit on that one, but I was never in on the Malik Washington like big steam earlier on. Now that he proved it at the combine, I'm willing to go there a little bit more. All right, I have a 1-5-5-1 here. Really not a great pocket at wide receiver. Michael Wilson getting a downgrade no matter what. Quentin Johnson has to rebound. Reports that it's unlikely that both Allen and Mike Williams come back to the Chargers, so no surprises there. Wandale, the one guy who showed spike upside for the Giants last year, got another year healthy as well. I'm going Wandale. God, that hurts. I think that there is a world where Quentin Johnson can rebound and have an okay next year, especially if both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen go. But I think that I'd rather have Wandale than Quentin Johnson right now. I think Wandale should be priced I guess it's an appropriate price. Like, but if you really think about it, like, do you want Jerry Jeudy at 134 or Wandale at 152? Jeudy has the shot of getting a good trade outcome for himself from a team that's had like a had a crush on him from far for a while. But I think that for me, I'd rather have Wandale. I also thought I'd be able to push Deshaun Watson, but this guy was David Njoku took him, so that's on me. We'll have to get creative with our QB too. And frankly, did he do me a favor making me not draft Deshaun Watson? Possibly. Just let people spread their shit analytics and data. More of you for the splashers. That's true. I still think I err on the side of like wanting people to across everything have a baseline understanding. I mean, that's why I built my sports betting app probably. Just, I'm not transitioning to a plug, but like legitimately, that's why I built the app. It's because I think that in terms of gambling especially, you should have like, you know, C plus competency of knowing what matters to being good at the thing you're trying to do. You know, unless you're playing for pure entertainment and willing to lose the money entirely, but nobody's ever like going, I can't wait to lose the money. So I believe in democratizing that info as much as possible. So that's why I try to do that here. But obviously, you know, I get that. I get wanting to keep an edge as much as one can. All right. Not a great pocket here. And I was thinking about going Michael Mayer with that spot, but we are now out of that situation. Ugh, I really don't have the faith in Darren Waller not retiring at this point. I should decide on retirement soon. I mean, he got divorced, right? Like, I feel like if you're getting divorced, you play one more year in the NFL and you just, you know, see what shakes out of some trees. So I'm going to take Darren Waller here, and I think we might do a late Daniel Jones bailout. Team so far through round 14, Jared Goff at QB, only one QB yet. I've gotten smoked on all the QBs. Devon Achane, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Chuba Hubbard, Jerome Ford at running back. Do like the running back room a good amount. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Amari Cooper, Brian Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Trey Franklin, Wandale Robinson. I like the wide receiver room a good amount. Tight end, Sam Laporta, Darren Waller. Don't hate it. Even if Waller's retired, we're good at tight end. Laporta could be your only tight end. You're probably good at tight end, so I can live with this. Get your guy Estime. I don't have to do it now. Estime still goes at 162 here, but no, I don't need another running back right now. Not going to reach for that. I think I'm drafting my best team yet. I'm going to let you rate it when I'm done. All right, just you know where to send it to me. Yeah, if you are paying a member here like M for Life J, you can send me your teams. Up to 10 a month, I'll review for you if you want to just get feedback about things that I would do differently, things to consider about your own process. Especially if you send me a few, like don't send like 10 at once because then I just don't know, but like one at a time, I'll give you a thoughtful reply. But if you do that, like, you know, every couple of days, send me one at a time. Our guy, Robert Griffin III, I think was the best case for it. Like I started to notice tendencies in what he was doing. He then kind of adjusted his drafting a little bit more and had the best results he's had in best ball. So, that's hopefully how the process works. If you guys, you know, if you guys use me the right way, not my pretty mouth. if you use the information the right way, that's, how a good process will work for us. Just at Chris Spags on Twitter, ideally, if you need to on Instagram, but ideally on Twitter. Or if you're on Pete's Deposit Kingdom Discord, you could do it on Discord too. But those would be the two ways. At some point, we'll have the Splash Play Discord figured out because I'd either like to link it to the Deposit Kingdom one or we have to start a new one that I can like use for stuff. So we have to regroup with Pete on a number of things this offseason at some point. When I'm not a busy boy and Pete's off into more of a work mode. Because that's germane to you guys as paying customers. I know that. Mad Maddie going here gets Jalen Polk, who, you know, the lesser of the Washington receivers, but again, perfectly valid too. Good combine, good analytics as well. Take Kamara in the second round or the sixth round. And, well, look, if you're in a draft room, I got to tell you, when I see the regulars in a draft room, I'm going to be extra critical of you guys on stream now because, you know, it's just it's one of those things where you guys take all the guys, you take all the good picks. So now I have to do that. That'll be utility for everybody, I hope. But you guys probably saw on the stream yesterday, no more joy than doing that fucking draft yesterday because I just got good guys at reasonable ADPs because it wasn't all of our regulars who are going to scoop up every ADP and then have also been doing the research alongside me here on stream. So I definitely, no respect to you guys, I'd rather do clean draft rooms with all randoms 10 times out of 10. But you should too. You want to be with idiot teams. I know our guy Sammy here. Sammy drafts teams like pretty much exclusively like overnight. Sammy's a fucking madman, but I don't know. Sam, like, say now I'm following you on Twitter, man. I don't know. don't know what's going on there. But Sammy's like, dude, drafts between 12 and 7, he said, to try to take advantage. I forget what your phrasing was of like the various drunks and idiots out there. So, you know, look, I think that we all want to draft down in competition. You know, the upside of drafting in some of these rooms is you get cleaner ones. The downside is that, you know, because of some weird snipies in chat, you know, then I don't always get the cleanest room. 1-5-6-2 here. QB is just staying on the board that nobody wants. You hate to see it. I'm just going to keep pushing QB too then. Nobody wants QBs. I don't need QBs. Who gives a shit? 1-5-6-2. What do I do here? Man, there's really nothing like I need to go and get. You know, let's just go up and get Jalen Hyatt too. If we're going to get Daniel Jones, we might as well get some fun theoretical parts of Jalen Hyatt. One thing that came out in the combine reports as well, Jalen Hyatt apparently going to play out of the slot a little bit more this year after being basically banished out wide. At Tennessee, he was mostly playing out of the slot. The downside is like slot targets downfield are less repeatable from college, but he was like a beast out of the slot in Tennessee. The issue, again, there's a lot of issues really. Tennessee, though, video game offense, we talked about the most video game offense. So for Hyatt, probably a good thing. The hope is that, I guess, he doesn't cut into Wandale. I actually didn't think about that until now. But if Hyatt moves in the slot more, then Wandale's probably not in the slot as much. But Wandale's our best receiver, so I don't see how you keep him off the field. Maybe they'll just get more creative. It's the Giants, though, so I don't know. God, I hate that I'm, like, really trying to think through the Giants here because I'm backed into having to try to take Daniel Jones at some point. So what, a hyper-fragile build of Saquon, Kamara, Chubb, and Mixon for you to... Yeah, Jeff knows me too well at this point. I feel like out of all you guys in chat, Jeff definitely knows my draft preferences and dislikes about as well as anybody. Hyatt might be gas season. He might be gas. He might be ass. You don't know. But I do think, you know, a guy with that downfield pedigree, that speed, he'll get lost in the sauce a little bit with all these guys coming in who are just as fast as him, if not more fast. But Hyatt is still a guy that, you know, exists for a reason. And the Giants have so many receivers there. I guess they could lose Slayton this year. And it does seem like they're falling out of love with Daniel Jones. And part of the reason you keep Slayton there is because he's Daniel Jones's guy. Possible that you see like one of these rookies come in, and that would make me feel less good about Hyatt. Cause like, I think all the guys coming in probably a little bit better than Hyatt, but Hyatt's still good enough that like he should stand on his own merits if they don't get one of those guys. J.J. McCarthy will be throwing for him. I mean, look, the Giants cannot get out of that contract, like the Daniel Jones one. So they have to basically eat it. And Jones, too, like might not be a pup list guy. So I don't know. But they could draft a replacement, I suppose. All right, a 1-5-7-2 here. Not a bad value on Josh Palmer, but we don't really need another receiver at this point. Just going to get our guy Daniel Jones and hope that he remains the Giants starting QB. And we're going to get a third QB as well at some point, obviously. But we'll see that when we get there. Team so far, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Devon Achane, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Chuba Hubbard, and Jerome Ford at running back. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Amari Cooper, Brian Thomas Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, Troy Franklin, Wandale Robinson, and Jalen Hyatt. And then a tight end, Sam Laporta and Darren Waller. So two stacks here. Studs beside them as well, where we have Cooper. Hopefully Brian Thomas will be a stud. Little correlations with Cleveland. I like the seam. I think I did what I was supposed to do for today. I think in this kind of room in particular, where we didn't get like crazy values necessarily, I correlated. I got guys here that are probably a little bit undervalued. If Darren Waller isn't retiring, he's going to come up a little bit in ADP. I don't know how much, but it'll come up a little bit. So I'm good with these picks. Jones, the least of their issues. I think it's not a bad take. Jones, though, the real issue for him, and I guess, you know, maybe the shot, how bad? He was really bad last year. Daniel Jones, EPA-wise, 0.07 EPA for rush, so it was great there. Negative 0.4 EPA per pass. So every time he threw a pass, he was costing him almost half a point. Really bad year. And the thing for Jones is that coming off the knee injury, he's probably going to have to be a pocket passer a little bit more. That is not the skill set. I think the Giants have surrounded him with theoretical weapons, you know, maybe not the greatest alpha targeters. These guys aren't Marvin Harrison, but you have speed. You have a guy who can get open in space for Wandale. You have Jalen Hyatt who can get, you know, at least run goes and get downfield and create some room. I don't think it's like a bad team around him. So if he can improve, but he's like, He's got to improve by like a lot. Who do you think is the most value for my last three picks in wide receiver? Wait, what? You mean like the last three picks in the draft or my last three picks? Clarify that question, Jay, and I'll try to answer it. In a room with one non-Badger, we thank you for your donation. And look, not all Badgers are good drafters, especially now that Underdog is in year four of doing drafts. For them, year five, right? Year five doing drafts. So like there's enough people that have just been doing drafts for that time period that they probably have passed 1,000. Last three picks of a draft. There really aren't a lot. AT Perry is definitely one though. Brendan Rice, if you're in a good room that'll let you get him, would be one. Johnny Wilson, I don't mind. He doesn't want to play tight end and he's too big, but he did grade out well athletically and was also good analytically. Who else late? Cedric Tillman's probably more of a direct backup to Cooper, but he could rise a little bit. Taj Washington, I wish competed at the combine because I think he cost himself by not being there and showing he was fast, but we'll see. I think those are most of them. DeMarcus Robinson, I wouldn't hate to, especially if you have a Stafford and a Puka or somebody like that. I think the big ones for me, AT Perry is definitely one because for right now, he benefits a lot by Michael Thomas not being there. Johnny Wilson, I've been in the bag for a while. Alec Pierce, I'd still take shots at, especially if you have AR. Yeah, I think that's mostly it. You can take Juwan Jennings too. Feels a little bit, recency biasy with how he did in the Super Bowl. But there is the shot that Ayuk gets traded. If Ayuk gets traded, Jennings gets upgraded immediately. So he becomes a lot more useful then. All right, pick coming up here once Red Daddy makes his choice. He's really soaking up the clock here, really thinking about it. But I guess that's what happens when you're playing against the Garry Kasparov. That's a person, right? That's a chess guy? I think it is. Will Levis, come on down. We took DeAndre Hopkins. We take Will Levis to be our QB3. So the widest QB room around, but we got one guy who used to be mobile, one guy who should be mobile, and one guy who doesn't want to be mobile at all. He might not even he might as well be Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump and just have no legs back there. Devon Achane, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Chuba Hubbard, Jerome Ford at running back, wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Amari Cooper, Brian Thomas Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, Troy Franklin, Wandale Robinson, and Jalen Hyatt, a wide receiver, and a tight end, Sam Laporte, Darren Waller. We got three stacks. This is, this room is a little bit tougher than the one yesterday. I don't love the QBs. I think that we had to take three, and frankly, you could talk me into four if I had one more obvious stack to hit. But I like what I did with that. I like having every guy stacked up. They're more stacked up late than early, so we're trying to capture a little bit of upside around our core guys who should be week-to-week producers. So I'm pretty happy with that. Jared the Statue Goff, who, by the way, if we are going to rank, and this might be a thing for Mathology, who could win our giveaway of a Splash Play guest hosting spot, which, by the way, is still going on, guys. I'll leave it in the pinned comments. But if you leave 5 stars, Andrew, if you're probably on my app, of course, which you can still see the ad for on the screen, guest hosting spot on Splash Play up for grabs. So I'm going to do it as a rolling giveaway as well. So we'll have one guest hosting spot a month. And if Mathology were to talk about it, I would love to talk about Kristen Harper, Jared Goff's girlfriend, because she's one where I'm like, holy, obviously, they're NFL players, lots of hot girlfriends, but Kristen Harper to me is, she's one of the ones that I would rank pretty highly up there. Wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers, if you catch my drift. We're going to use antiquated references. Those feel vaguely misogynistic, but I don't think it is. All right, 3572 here. So was kind of hoping that Chig would fall back. Davis Allen is a pick I'm taking a lot. Noah Fant might be the better play just because of the fact that he's going to get a good landing spot in free agency, most likely. I will take Noah Fant here. Wilson is your answer at fourth QB. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, look, I could take a fourth QB. I don't think I need it here. Third tight end makes more sense to me with the possibility of Darren Waller retiring. Though again, for Sam Laporta could be the only tight end. He's probably going to be the one who gives you most of your points every week. So, tight end to me, maybe not a necessity there. Could have taken the fourth QB. Could also, frankly, just take Bryce Young, who I do believe is a little bit underpriced. I mean, especially going in round 18, round 19. Ooh, Noah Fant to Cincinnati would be huge. He would be a massive upgrade on Tanner Hudson. Like a massive, massive upgrade on Tanner Hudson. Other quick plugs, guys. Stochastic, again, NBA slates. I've been playing all the $4 entry 150 maxes. Have a lot of fun. Always feel like you're live when you have 150 entries, which I think is the fun part there. So if that fits your bankroll, I can't advocate Stochastic's data products and also Sims well enough on there. They really do a great job helping me feel like I'm getting at least level with the field on the slate. And for me, being able to manage the ROI boost and all of that, and not just, you know, go fully balls to the wall with my projections like I used to do in Fantasy Cruncher. Been a lot of fun for me. So check it out for yourself. Save 15% on Stochastic. And that includes all their data as well. I'm talking about NBA, but they have PGA stuff, MMA, NASCAR as well. Sims tools for them too. And frankly, as I mentioned before, MMA, PGA, NASCAR, not enough people using Sims products out there, so it's very easy to hit the cash line and actually give yourself some lineups that are live to do more. So check that out for yourself on Stochastic. And, of course, Underdog as well. Glad to be in bed with them for another year, doing Splash Play, of course. 5 days a week of drafts. Get in one of them. So a lot of people did today. Using that promo code Splash and double your deposit up to $100, as well as getting a mystery pick 'em on there. And responsible gaming as well. Game responsibly. Underdog cares. They care because they have to care. I'm sure they care on an actual level too. One thing though, I guess while we're doing the positive plugs for Underdog, I don't know if you guys saw this on social media, but Underdog first funding they did for their Guard Dog initiative, which is like meant to do products that are good for responsible gaming stuff, met very poorly on social media because the company kind of seems like one that might lead to sportsbooks being able to limit you more efficiently, where basically it tracks your sportsbook spend across everything. So like it would know your drafting spend, it would know your FanDuel spend, it would know your ROI. So a tool that might be for theoretical good, but could also be used for theoretical evil, was their first investment. So that's the push pull of, I think, any of these things that I'm learning firsthand with probably my app, of course, but it is an interesting scene out there. So got to be even handed about Underdog, I think. Oh, Bindles here. Wow, because I was responsible. Thank you. Shout out Bindles. Of course, one of our favorites here. Check out his channel too. If he gives away memberships, I'll give him the plug. Bindles doing best ball streams a couple times a week now. So check out his stream. I did one a couple weeks ago with our guy, Emo Cowboy Tyler here, one of our beloved regulars. So, which I think was one of Bindles' more viewed streams. So go check that out too. A lot of fun hanging out with Tyler and Bindles on that stream. And we got a little silly on that one. Just a little silly. I've heard about the Fant thing was going to take him now, but someone beat me to it. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I took a guy that you were thinking of. That's not how this goes. I don't get mad at people taking guys I was thinking of. Honestly, Davis Allen is a fucking steal here at 199. or rather with a 199 ADP. He's a better version of Tyler Higbee and an offense that we know is going to absolutely sling it. Fuck it, man. I'm not taking Davis Allen. I like Davis Allen too much. This is too good of a player at pick 224. I don't give a shit, man. It's too good. I feel good about my wide receivers. I feel good about my running backs. I'm not going to add value at running back at this point, so whatever, man. Give me more tight ends. I got 20 rounds. I can have 4 tight ends. Ben Sinnott goes to dark. There we go. Glad Ben Sinnott found a good home. I got a little tight end piggy here. I can admit that. Pull up the running back if, but this is me right now with tight ends. Scarfing up. Going, not motorboating them, I guess, but metaphorically. Eric Gregg's a soul dinger. Eric Gregg, quietly one of the sneakiest picks in a draft right now with the Giants and not wanting Saquon back, seemingly. Obviously, they could bring in a Trey Benson. They could bring in a Bucky Irving. They could bring in somebody who becomes the lead back. But Eric Gray right now, a guy that they did want to get in the field last year. Same coaching staff coming back. They liked Eric Gray enough to force him into punt returning, a thing he'd never done in college because they just wanted the ball in his hands. So I think Eric Gray, very nice pick for this guy, for Soldinger here at 228. Round 20, Kendall Milton. We do like Kendall Milton a little bit. I can do it. Rating the views. Get more views for Bindles than I do for my own channel at this point. That's why I need you guys to smash the like button. It's so fucking dumb. Like when you actually are doing YouTube on the regular and you care about paying attention to it as much as I do now. And it's like, it really is like, I just need you guys to fucking hit the like button. If 100 of you guys liked every video, we start to show to more people and we'd be on the way up. So just keep that in mind here. You a person at home can make a difference in one innocent little streamer's life. Bryce Young and JJ McCarthy are still here. I think they make this team better than another running back and wide receiver. Like, what do I need Darius Slayton here for the fucking once in a lifetime spike weeks? I'm going Bryce Young. He's a little bit mobile. I think things are just going to be better for the Panthers. Four QBs, four tight ends. Weird build, a 4-5-7-4, but I think it makes sense with where we spent draft capital. I feel like if we had that Brick Caddy tool where it tells you like your buckets, I think it would tell me that I did my buckets correctly. So Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Will Levis, Bryce Young at QB. A running back, Jared Goff. A running back, Devon Achan, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Chuba Hubbard, Jerome Ford. I just think that Ford, Hubbard, and Brown are undervalued and could have outcomes that lead to them coming up 20 spots, if not more, in the offseason. So I really like this as a 5-RB room, even though the draft cap is a little bit low. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Amari Cooper, Brian Thomas Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, Troy Franklin, Wandale Robinson, and Jalen Hyatt. And a tight end, four men, Sam Laporta, Darren Waller, Noah Fant, Davis Allen. Just too good of a value for Davis Allen. I couldn't pass that up. So I like this team. I think it's a little bit different. Bryce Young season, there we go. Got Nick, the only Panthers fan I know in the world. So shout out, besides people like me who had one in a starter's jacket in the 90s. But there we go. Bryce Young season. I will get back to you for life. Don't worry about it. I will check it at some point this afternoon. Just don't give me like 24 hours for a reply generally, but I always make sure to get back. All right, guys, that is it for the day. Again, really could use your support here to keep growing the channel. Please subscribe down below. There we go. Please subscribe down below. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. Splash play on that march to 4K subs to 5K subs. This is what I'm doing. This and probably are my two jobs right now. So don't make me have to get, please don't make me have to get another one. Hit the like button, subscribe here, leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. Of course, probably my baby, best way to support Splash Play is support Splash Play, hit the join button. The best way to, besides that, support probably, get good betting data in your life, the best betting data in the world, a back-tested 12 to 20% ROI per sport, win rates above 50% for all of our bets that are graded as a positive probably score. So that's the main thing for you. You can just get an easy bets, good bets for yourself, and build your bankroll for best ball. Check it out. Use promo code SPLASH at probably.com/subscribe to get half off. Or get a 7-day free trial on the App Store right now and go do that, please. You could use the App Store stuff especially. Leave 5 stars in a review if you want to be a guest host on Splash Play as well. Thank you to all the fine folks helping put on the show. Of course, the reading of names coming up tomorrow, and I'll have some more to add to it thanks to our pal Bindles. But you too can support the show by hitting the join button down below, $4.99 a month. You get my data in season. You also be getting the Spags rankings coming up, which includes basically, it's honestly more of like an almanac because I give a write-up for every guy. It's usually like a one-liner write-up, but I'm giving you data. I'm giving you all the EPA metrics I look at. So a lot coming up here for the Squirt Squad as soon as we get through free agency and obviously the draft itself. So check that out and hit the join button if you can. Follow me at Chris Spags. Follow the show at Splash Play Pod and come back tomorrow for more Zero RB Fridays. We'll be cooking tomorrow. We're not going to draft a running back. Shocked Pikachu. Oh, they're not going to draft. That's how Pikachu talks. Oh, they're not going to draft a running back on Splash Play? I can't believe it. I did not do an Asian voice. Let that be known. Either way, guys, appreciate you being here. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Enjoy your days. Good luck. Bye.